British Sky Broadcasting presents the DreamWorks Pictures presentation of a Roth Arnold production starring Sandra Bullock, Ben Affleck and Maura Tierney in Forces of Nature.
It's a great pleasure. It's a great, great pleasure. It's a great pleasure to have all of you here today. I thought you all might begin your tour here.
You know, I really didn't want a bachelor party in the first place, and I'll tell you why. It's not that I'm against tradition. There's just something bizarre about having a strange, naked woman dance around me while my friends yell out, "Go for it, Ben! Last night of freedom, Ben!" Last night of freedom for what? Which is what I told my best friend, Alan. I didn't want any strippers. I didn't want to get lucky. I was lucky enough just getting married.
Brian! Brian!
All right, I'm not paying for that. All right, he was chipped. We're here to wish Ben good luck and good riddance as he heads down that rocky path to matrimony. And, hey, you know what? Ben's dad, Richard, and his grandpa, Max, are here. Where are you guys? Those guys, watch out. You guys got to pace yourselves. Knowing Ben, I'd have to say that he's probably one of the most loyal guys that I've ever met. Monogamous. And so this is probably going to be maybe the last time that you're going to spend in a room with your friends and a naked woman other than your wife, man. So you can close your eyes if you want to. Close them, but then you're gonna be missing Juanita the Bull Tamer!
A tall Latin lady poses to the music dressed in a matador's cloak and a skimpy bikini with balloons covering her breasts. In a flamenco parody, she approaches Ben, who is tied to a chair with tinsel, and runs a pin under his chin and pops a balloon. Sitting on his lap, she pops another balloon. He smiles with embarrassment as she steps away from him and turns to face him, her arms raised above her head. His smile changes to horror as she handstands before him and slowly falls forward to enfold his head between her naked thighs. Gripping him tightly, she pulls herself up to sit on his chest, spreading her legs wide and sliding down on his lap. Putting a pin between his teeth, she pushes a balloon into his face. With Ben shaking his head in shame, Juanita the Bull Tamer stands and whips off her short cloak. With long, seductive strides, she crosses to Ben's grandfather, dancing with him and taking another pin from a bracelet on her wrist. The old man's smile freezes in agony and his left hand rises shakily to his chest as he grabs for a bar stool and collapses to the floor. Ben's expression suddenly changes to horror. Father and son look at each other over the old man's prone body. The family gathers in a private room at a hospital.
How did this happen?
How did it happen? What's the difference how it happened?
I want to know how it happened. It makes a difference to me. I don't understand. What, all of a sudden he has a heart attack out of nowhere?
Mom, can we please not talk about this right now?
What is it you don't want to
talk about? Mrs. Holmes, if it's any consolation, I think he was having a really good time.
Alan, shut up.
Okay.
Come into the hall.
What is in the hall?
A vending machine. Come on, Bunchki. Who's hungry? I'm buying.
Oh, I was in the night and it's really... This is insane.
He probably just ate some spicy food.
It was spicy, all right, but it wasn't
Bunchki.
Food. What? Richard, you are the silliest old fart.
Grandpa, what came over you?
Hmm?
Hey.
Ben.
All right.
Ben. She was the most beautiful woman I ever saw.
What about Nana?
Did you ever take a good look at your grandmother? The woman looked like Tolstoy. I was never attracted to her. Oh, maybe in the beginning, because she was the only woman I'd ever been with.
Well, you know, that's great. That's loyalty. I mean,
loyalty. It's fear. Did you ever feel her arms? Oh, Ben, I used to dream about other women. What it'd be like to hold them and to touch them and to smell them.
Grandma smelled. Mm. She had a very distinct smell.
Ben, listen to me. Don't tie yourself down. Even if you love a woman, it fades. Marriage is a prison.
Ben!
A young woman bursts into the hospital and rushes through nurses, doctors, and patients towards Ben, sitting slumped in a pocket of calm at the end of the corridor. Waving to him, she bends to help a woman in a wheelchair.
Can I help you out? Here we go.
You just passed my room!
Sorry. Feel better.
Why does everything feel so much better now that you're here? Mm.
How's he doing?
He's stable, you know, physically.
Good. What happened?
Well, what do you expect as an 80-year-old man with high blood pressure and a naked balloon-popping toreador? It's a rough combination.
It didn't pan out.
No, it's not funny.
Are you serious?
Something I want to do.
Okay.
I want to be able to remember this moment in 30 or 40 years. I think my next husband will get a kick out of it. Oh, that's nice. Okay. The night before, I am flying down to Savannah for our wedding alone because Ben's grandfather, who we will now refer to as Larry Flint, has partied himself into intensive care. Okay. What do you have to say?
Put the video camera away.
No. Honey, I can get off that easy. Come on, just
wait. I'm saving it for my vows.
I have already finished my vows.
What's that? You know why? Because it's easy for you.
Oh, what?
I'm a writer.
Oh, really?
I can't just slap something down on paper like you do. You don't realize how difficult.
Ben, listen.
You don't have to be brilliant. Or witty, or clever, or polite, even. You just have to be honest. Come on, say something. What are you feeling? Are you nervous? Are you happy? Are you scared? Are you...
I'm scared. What might I be scared of?
I'm scared.
You are? Why? Now you're making me scared. What?
Because it's a big thing. It's our marriage. It's the rest of our lives. It's scary.
I know. I'm not scared. The only thing we have to fear...
Yeah.
It's just video camera.
Hey, come on. Just a few words for posterity.
The New York skyline rises up against the hazy blue sky as rush hour traffic hits its peak in the heaving city. Bridges, freeways, and underpasses are gridlocked as a yellow cab pulls up at the airport.
Really, you think I can rent shoes down there?
I can't believe I forgot.
I hear they have shoes in Savannah now. The whole South has them. All right. Wedding dress, check. Check for the minister, check. Valium for Bridget's mother, check.
Ball and chain for you, check.
Not listening to you, check.
Here, look.
Here you go.
Thanks.
This is your present, okay? It's a book of quotes. I crossed out the ones that I'm gonna use in my toast, but listen to this. To say that you can love one person all your life is like saying that one candle will continue to burn as long as you live. Think about that for a minute.
I will. I'll think about that. It's profound. This is used.
I forgot the rings.
That's not funny. Don't do that.
I forgot the rings. So.
No, come on, man. No!
Relax. I'll catch you next plane, all right?
Son of a bitch!
I'll see you in Savannah. Hey, I need to go to the city.
No,
New York.
I can't.
New York City.
No,
don't take the van with, though.
Looking confused and annoyed, Ben stands in the check-in terminal wearing a suit, carrying a hold-all, and with a white polythene-wrapped wedding dress over his left arm. His attention is held briefly by the frantic antics of a young woman with a squeaky trolley before he heads to the check-in desk.
He's headed for the southeast coastline. The eye of the hurricane is presently located 200 miles east of South Carolina and Savannah, Georgia.
Waiting in line to board the plane to Savannah, Ben stands behind the same woman and her rough and ready partner as they kiss passionately. Trying not to look and embarrassed at being unable not to, he watches the woman draped around her man, biting and licking his chin, his eyes glued to the way her mouth moves in response to her lover's kisses.
Excuse me, folks. Lines moving forward.
The man grins wickedly and the woman flashes a smile at Ben and they board.
No. Well, I love you. I love you more. Oh, I love you more. Know me more. No, I love you more. Okay, I have to go because I just made another passenger nauseous. Okay. It's my fiance. Going down to get married, so we're a little, you know.
Jack Bailey, Snap-on Tools.
Ben Holmes, scared of flying.
Yeah, I was married once.
Yeah?
To me, marriage is just one big lie.
You don't say.
In the morning, I had to say, don't be silly, honey. Your breath is fine. You smell like a rose. And I had to say, no, honey, I never noticed that 18-year-old girl with the fantastic body and halter top that delivers our newspaper. She can't hold a candle to you and the 30 pounds you've put on since we stopped having sex. So when's the wedding day?
May cancel it. I may have to call back.
Hey, I didn't mean to throw a wet towel on you with my whole marital disaster tirade, huh?
It's all right. It was a nice story, actually. It was very touching.
Nice girl?
Very nice. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have a picture of her right here.
Wow, what a knockout.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Oh, baby, come to daddy.
Well, take it easy, Jack.
Oh, what I wouldn't give for an ass like that.
Ben follows Jack's gaze to the same woman from the boarding gate.
Oh, here we go.
Hi. This is me.
Really? Well, this is your lucky day, sweetheart. I think we got just about enough room for one of you, darling.
Oh, must be destiny, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
As the aeroplane is towed to its takeoff position, Ben starts typing on his laptop.
Sorry.
Hmm?
I was reading what you were writing. My eye just kind of wandered over. Sorry. Do you work for Hallmark?
A flock of seagulls perch at the edge of the runway.
Even if I had seen you looking at it, that wouldn't bother me. That wouldn't compel me.
I don't care either. I'm just absolutely fascinated by the fact you can't admit that you saw me reading it.
I can't. If I had seen you reading it, I'd be perfectly happy.
Then why did you close your computer?
I close my computer, well, because I'm known to do that from time to time.
Oh.
I'm a rebel. You know, I'll open it, and I'll close it again, just like that, because I don't care. Don't get next to my fire, because you'll get burnt. It's not working properly. Stewardess, this isn't... Miss? Thank you.
You're a little jumpy for a rebel, aren't you?
My seatbelt's not functioning properly, anyway.
He's a scared flyer.
Oh.
Jack Bailey, Snap-on Tools.
Sarah Lewis. And you are?
Ben Holmes. Rarely, I'm not that scared.
Yeah.
Jack's...
I can assure you that absolutely nothing is going to happen. And I speak from experience. I was a flight attendant. There you go.
Oh, yeah? In one of those little uniforms?
As the turbines build up speed and the aircraft taxis along the runway, the birds fly up into formation and turn straight into the path of the jet. A stray bird is sucked into one of the engines. As the engine spews feathers, the aircraft slides out of control. In utter panic, passengers leap up frantically heading for the exits. The plane smashes along wing height direction board, shuddering violently, and bumps over a brake lock. The violent judder lifts Ben in his seat and he smacks Sarah with his computer. She collapses into his lap. With brakes squealing, the craft barrels towards a large wooden Welcome to New York sign. In Savannah, Bridget unwraps a garish yellow chip-dip bowl in her parents' house.
Oh,
my God, this is a disaster. Patty?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
On the other hand, you can never have too many of these.
Well, it's fabulously colorful.
Give you that. How far do you think I could throw it?
Don't you get... Yeah, give me that now.
Give...
Ceramic clown from the...
Brewsters. Oh, my... My God, that's Finn!
Official word on the cause of the crash at this time, though, there may have been a far-not with the...
Well, let's get some help out here!
She hit her head.
Everyone's pretty shook up. We had a couple of passengers go to a local hospital with concussions, but most everyone's...
Oh, my God, there he is again. Oh, call me. Oh, Ben, I love you. Call me. Thank you for joining us. No, go back. Oh, there you have it, the very latest information
straight from the New York Airport Authority.
Hello.
Ben.
Hi, honey. Yeah, I'm fine. No, I'm okay, you know. I'm a little, frazzled. I mean, I was, you know, plane crash.
This place is, you know, it's a nightmare.
People are running around, and I guess they lost, you know, everything.
I don't care. I don't care about any of that. I'm just so happy you're okay. I was, I just wish that...
Ben.
Tell him.
Ben, listen.
What happened?
You just get yourself down here safe and sound.
Most of the thing is, you see, I'm a little bit, you know, scared to fly. But before I was in a plane crash, so I don't feel much like getting up.
You are a god. You're a god amongst all men. Do you realize that?
I'm on the phone.
Oh, sorry.
What in the hell?
It's just one of the other passengers from the flight. No, nothing's wrong.
He saved my life!
Just kidding. It's a joke. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna get a rental car and drive down there, okay? And I'll call you when I have a finalized plan. Okay, great. Thanks, sir.
Sorry, I couldn't contain myself. About it. I mean, we almost died today. Dead.
Is there a rental car this way? Are we going the right way?
You know what I was thinking? If I died, how many people would care? I mean, really care. I mean, yeah, you'd have your shares of what a shame, what a waste. She was so young. But no crime. No real crime.
I think it might
be
in that time.
No eating disorders. No attempt at suicide. Nothing. It's absolutely depressed. I'm sort of, you know what? I'm thoroughly depressed. You know what? I just need to shake it off. Shake it off. So what were you thinking?
I was thinking how it would affect our frequent flyer miles.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a jacket copywriter.
Huh. Yeah, what does that mean?
It means I write the jackets, the books, basically.
Oh.
I do some, mostly fiction, but I do some nonfiction.
Oh, you do blurbs. You're a blurb writer. You're a blurbologist. Right?
I'm a jacket copywriter.
Not a cars, non-cars, cars, niet. You should have called as soon as you got off the plane.
Oh, why didn't I think of that when I was unconscious and bleeding from the head? So, cars, niet. You can check the other airport, sir.
No, that's all right. You can go ahead. I'm not that big a fan of the idea of getting on another plane today or tomorrow or ever, not that soon. But, you know, go ahead, because I think I'm going to be... ground transportation can't get.
You know what? I'll be right back. How you doing? Did you get a car? Some of our snack. This is Vic. He's gonna give us a ride.
All the way to Georgia?
Sure. We split the cost of the car, the gas, whatever.
Great.
Good. Let's go.
Okay.
We don't even know this guy.
He's Vic.
Oh, he's Vic. Great. He's Vic. He's Vic. He chops us up, you know, leaves us in the woods.
Well, see, that's why I asked that you come along to protect me.
How do you know that I'm not dangerous?
What's your story, Ben? What's down in Savannah?
A wedding, Vic.
No kidding. That's great. Isn't that great?
Oh, it's a blessing.
First marriage?
That I know of, yeah.
Yeah, I was married once. One day I walk into the house and I hear the shower running. I had Chinese food with me, figuring it'd be a nice romantic surprise. Mm-hmm. She starts singing in the shower. What's that song? Up in the sky, up with the eagles.
Wind beneath my wings. Yeah, we're touching something.
Wind beneath my wings. Suddenly there's another voice in the shower with her.
Oh, no.
A baritone.
Uh-oh.
Now it's a freaking duet. So I walk in the bathroom and there she is. With my brother.
Ah.
And then I grab my brother and throw him through the window, naked. He broke his leg in two different places.
Mm-hmm. Dare we ask what became of your wife, Vic?
I put the wind beneath her ass and sent her packing, divorced her. She never got a penny. A lying whore and adulterating pig. What about you, sweetheart? What's your story?
Oh, I'm going down to visit my brother and hang out with my nephew and stuff.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yep. Got any?
Nah. But I see them all over.
So, what else have you, Jacket, copywritten?
What else did I do? The low point of my career was I did the blurb for a thriller about a woman, an archaeologist, who finds love in the pyramids. It was called Me and My Pharaoh.
I have that book.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. A scintillating tale of erotic mummification.
I wrote that.
Oh, my God, that's why I bought the book. I mean, anybody who could find, you know, embalming, either scintillating or erotic, had to be read. It was brilliant.
Well, you know, I mean, it's all about adjectives. Mm-hmm. I was going to go with engaging tale of erotic mummification first, but then I said no, scintillating.
Right on the money.
Look, it's still selling, you know. At least I get to write.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, Lord. Well, I haven't really settled down to one particular thing yet, but worked in galleries, sold cars, tried out for Aladdin on Ice. Wedding videographer?
Yeah.
I got fired, though, because apparently nobody wants a crash Zoom to the priest during the ceremony. There's a exotic dancer, hostess at the New York Auto Show.
That's a gift.
Yeah. Let's see what else.
Is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Kids, we should get going.
You got it, Vic. Two wayward travelers stuck in a geo with a guy named Vic.
Don't you think this is just a little bit over the top?
Oh, so what if it is?
Knock, knock. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Feel good, Abby.
Virginia, nice to see you.
Well, hi, Steve.
Bridget?
Yes. I mean, hi. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Ooh, been a long time.
Yeah.
You look wonderful.
Thank you. So do you. So, how are you?
How is he? Just the most successful lawyer in Savannah, that's how. Youngest member at his firm. Handles all my work.
Which I appreciate, because there's not a contractor I know who gets sued more than your daddy.
Now, what's so funny about that, Hadley?
God, you are an unpleasant woman.
Gale force winds as the hurricane stays on course for Savannah.
Anybody want some weed?
The first experiment was a complete failure as the UFO landed.
It sent some milias. It'll take your head right off.
Well, that's great, Vic. Do you think you should have your head taken off while driving? Or?
Man, a girl. You sure you don't want that?
No, that's okay. I had some peyote for lunch, so I'm all set.
Getting very, don't forget, he has to be responsible.
Not necessarily. I look at the Fitzgeralds. F. Scott and Zelda. Crazy married couple.
Ben cannot take his eyes from Sarah's lips as the smoke curls sensually upwards.
Oh! Hey!
Vic and Sarah both scramble for the joint and Ben leaps up from the back seat, reaching for the steering wheel. Vic looks up momentarily but goes back to scrabbling as a car passes them with two children's faces pressed to the window watching a strange man driving from the back seat.
Hi, honey. How the bridesmaids' dresses come out? Good. No, everything's fine. I just got a little bit delayed. Well, car trouble, a manner of speaking, but I'm fine. Everything's gonna be okay. Yes, I know. Well, I love you too. Well, I know, Bubucci, I love you so much. Baby, no, because I love you more. I love you more. Honey, I can't do this right now.
I'm gonna miss my wedding.
Oh, relax, Benji. It's a simple drug bust. It's not like we killed anybody.
You know, this may be an everyday event in your life, but speaking as a non-felon...
I'm on a bit of a time crunch here, too, okay? If I don't make it down to Savannah by Saturday morning, I lose $25,000.
What? Why? What do you want, dig for dollars? You told me you were going to visit your brother and your nephew.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, kids, here's the situation. Victor Franco was driving with an expired license. Plus, he's got 3 priors for possession and selling. And there was 10 ounces in the vehicle that he admits is his. Did anybody else know there were drugs in the car?
No, sir. In fact, I just met this man.
You can't ask us these questions about an attorney present. You haven't advised us of our rights, and I believe that's called, a Miranda violation. That's it.
This is a very simple procedure. You tell me you didn't do anything illegal, you sign a statement, and you go quietly.
Sir, I'd like to be considered separate from her, sir.
What kind of quiet didn't you understand?
Why are you talking? Don't talk.
Why?
Well, I think that went well.
I'm not that happy with how that went.
No?
No, not really. I haven't known you that long, but I think something may be wrong with you. May we have 2 tickets to Savannah, please?
You want these seats together?
It's totally up to you.
Just give me 1 second. Can I talk to you?
Yeah.
I just, I don't want to be rude or anything, but in situations like this, I always try to think about, you know, what I would want Bridget to do if the situation were reversed. And I think, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be that comfortable with her riding down on a train together with some guy who she had a, you know, kind of a connection or a chemistry or spark. Whatever, some kind of a thing like that, you know? And the look on your face is telling me, do you have... No, you're not feeling or you're not sensing. You have no idea what I'm...
Oh, no, not really.
Fascinating, okay. Maybe we just shouldn't ride down together because at this point I really made kind of a chump out of myself.
Okay. Have a nice nuptial.
Thank you. Other than the drug bust and the plane crash, it was fun. So long, Sarah.
Farewell, Ben.
Okay. Oscar Wilde. One should always be in love. This is the reason one should never marry. Well, what did he know?
Tapping busily at the keyboard on the table in front of him, Ben sits alone, lost in his writing. Suddenly, a message flashes up on the screen and fades. No reserve battery power remains. Your PowerBook will go to sleep within 10 seconds to preserve memory.
What you writing there, mister?
My wedding vows, actually. My fiancée and I are writing our own.
Oh, that's sweet. Isn't that sweet, Emma?
It's sweet as pie.
Yeah, we didn't write our own vows.
Yeah, it's kind of a new thing. It's non-traditionalist.
We were so nervous, it was hard enough to do what the preacher told us.
I didn't really think about it at all, to tell you the truth. It, I don't know, it just seemed natural, the order of things.
Well, I had doubts, I'll be honest.
You did. You never told me that.
Yeah, well, I don't tell you everything.
You better, you old geezer.
Well, it seems like it worked out pretty well for both of you.
Oh, we're not married. We're having an affair.
I'm happy for the first time in 34 years.
I don't believe this.
I don't have any regrets. My children are long gone, and I gave my wife 30 faithful years.
Until I met Ned, I always was convinced that sex was some horrible obligation God put on women, like cramps or high heels.
For all those years, she never experienced a genuine orgasm.
Wonderful. Could you watch my stuff? I'm gonna go pull the emergency cord.
Sarah sits in a different carriage, working out financial figures on a pad, subtracting from $25,000. A little boy in the seat behind her leans over the top of her seat, dangling his toy truck in her face.
Hi. How are you? What do you have, a truck?
Casey?
Hey, you see your truck? Grab my nose.
My nose.
Oh! Oh! What are you doing? What are you doing? Slappy five. Slappy five.
Bye.
Slappy five.
Something's wrong. You should have called by now.
He can take care of himself. He's a grown man, isn't he?
Daddy, what is it exactly that you don't like about Ben, besides the fact that he's from New York? And he voted for Clinton.
That's not enough.
Well, I voted for Clinton. All the best presidents sleep around. Hello? Oh, hi, Steve.
Ooh.
Oh, nothing. Just, you know, staving off nervous breakdown. Oh, well, thank you, but I can't. No, it does sound like fun, but quite frankly, a series of rabies shots sounds like fun compared to another evening with these two.
Bridget, come watch the biography of Newt with me. He's amazing.
He is not. He's an imbecile.
Oh, he's not. He's a damn genius.
Well, then you're an imbecile. Maybe I'd come by for just a little while.
As the train crosses a long bridge spanning a calmly flowing river, it slows to a halt.
No, but leave a message and we'll call you back.
Hi.
Hi.
I wasn't expecting an answer.
Well, I wasn't expecting to find some crazy woman on the roof.
Want to come up?
No, not really. I think probably that the top of the train might be off limits.
I know. How many times in your life are you going to see a view like this? Come on. Seize the moment, Benji. Come on.
I am. It's just that I can, you know, I'm eye level with the sunset here, so I have a better view because I'm...
Come up. Okay, buddy. This time, we're gonna do it with a little more feeling.
Okay.
We're just gonna...
Echo! I'm alive!
Just a little open... Push out. No one can hear you. Just throw it out there. Everything you got, just throw it out there.
I am somebody!
Oh, God. Okay,
I'm
going to show you how I do it. Okay, ready?
Yeah. That was nice. You know, I mean, sunsets go. This is interesting. I don't remember the rooster car. Do you remember seeing roosters? Because
no.
It's not,
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, no, not again. Didn't you two hear the announcement? When we stop outside Youngsville, no one on the Savannah-bound train is supposed to board the last three cars. We uncouple there, and then we reroute.
Yes, but what does that mean?
That means this train's going to Chicago.
I got you.
That was just trying to seize the moment. You end up getting yourself killed.
You just jumped and took
me. No, it's too fast.
I got you. Come on. There you go.
There's another one coming tomorrow afternoon. Laura has a bus station in town.
Physics!
You know, I'm kind of starting to get the feeling that there's maybe a hint that I'm not getting here. Just spell it out for me.
Can I pretty much spell it out for you?
Yeah, I'd say it does.
As darkness falls, the rain falls with it. Outside a garage, huge drops of hail-like rain fall in slow motion on piles of hubcaps as Sarah dances over them with Ben tagging sadly on behind.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Hey! Come on, what are you doing?
They race across an empty road to the bus station.
No! Not exactly a hot city, I guess.
No, but you know what? We'll come back in the morning.
What do we do for the next 12 hours?
All right, come on. I have an instinct about these
things. No,
come on.
No, it's Haley.
Bridget enters a crowded party.
Bridget, did you see?
Bridget,
Steve tries desperately to catch her eye. Ben and Sarah run through the hailstorm to a huge department store.
Please get out.
Oh, God! Thank you so much.
Man, this is dry. It's the best thing I can say about this.
Oh, my God, this is heaven.
Everything from toasters to baseball caps, fluffy slippers to baseballs line the display racks.
I didn't have time to tell my baby farewell.
Having dried off and changed, Sarah blow-dries her hair in the electrical department before joining Ben for a game of basketball in a sports aisle, their worries forgotten.
I just wish we'd stayed in touch, you know? I regret not keeping the friendship going.
We're friends. Steve? Friends?
I regret that, too.
Steve shuffles uncertainly as she turns away sipping her drink, but summons his courage and walks up behind her.
How can I just let you walk away? Let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh, ooh. You're the only one who really knew me at all. Take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. There's nothing left here to remind me. Just the memory of your face. Take a look at me now.
She stares at him in horror.
You remember that song?
Yeah.
I thought you would.
All I'm saying is that I don't understand the idea of living with just one person for the rest of my life. I mean, how do you make a choice like that? That's like choosing what you're going to wear in 25 years. And if things worked that way, everyone would still be wearing hot pants.
You dig?
I never wore hot pants, so there goes your whole argument.
Hey, life is supposed to be a ride, right?
What, you want to be on your deathbed saying I played by all the rules or I lived? Because I lived. I loved. I fought. I broke hearts. I screamed. I bled.
I guess thinking like that can explain your hostility toward marriage.
I don't have hostility towards marriage. I just have hostility towards my husband.
You're married?
Yep. Twice, actually. You saw him. I was kissing him at the airport. Ma'am, my husband Carl was a hustler from the first day I met him. Who am I to talk? I'm a dog walker. Yep. He convinced me I should invest in a bagel store down in Savannah because he thought they could make good bagels down there.
That's why they lost the Civil War.
Of course, we had to invest all my money because Carl's was tied up in some phony tax shelter at the time.
Is that your $25,000 that you were talking about?
Yeah. So I'm going to sell the place, get the last in a string of divorces. Of course, he doesn't know about it, or the divorce.
Wow. What a story.
So do you think it's a terrible thing I'm doing? You know, deceiving my husband?
No, it's none of my business.
I do.
Beg you listen me, don't be kissing me till I'm done. Unsung champion, a reason like seasoning. Pepper your thoughts with spice and entice you to a space where I dwell with bass players and layers of loops. Link what I think with my prayers, it's nice. My world is everything I've become, contained in the hum between voice and drum. I'm coming from the same place I'm still running from. But even
Ben watches Sarah adoringly as she sleeps in a laundrette beneath the words, "Jesus is a truck heading for God's warehouse." As Sarah stands up to leave, stretching out her stiffness from sleeping on the laundrette chairs, Ben watches her with an expression of concern and attraction. A man walks in carrying a plastic basket of laundry. His left shoulder is slightly hunched up to his chin and his eyes dart about. As Ben relaxes back on his seat, he takes out the book of quotations from Alan, but his eyelids droop with weariness. The man watches him closely. Outside, Sarah sits in a child's amusement car, wrapping an American football on a stick in blue wrapping paper and presses a blue ribbon onto it. She has an air of sadness as she does so, lost in thought. As Ben falls asleep, the man crosses to their bags and rifles through them. He carefully takes Sarah's purse and then removes Ben's fob watch from the pocket of his rucksack. Sarah's mood has become angry. Carrying the present, she stamps around the parking lot, kicking at the puddles left by the storm. Finally, unable to contain her rage, she jumps up and stomps into the biggest puddle she can find.
Mr. Spiro, hi, it's Sarah Lewis. Yeah, listen, I'm on my way down to sell the bagel shop. I should be there. What? No, Mr. Spiro, I think that's a misunderstanding, because the man who called couldn't possibly have been my husband. No.
She turns from the phone booth and looks directly at Ben.
No, Mr. Spiro, actually, my husband, he's coming with me to sell the property.
Hi.
No. I have these.
It's okay, I can pay for
them. No, insist. Really? At least that I can do. 2 for the 9:30 to Savannah, please. Thank you.
Where's my wallet?
Sitting on the curb, looking at a group of elderly passengers, Sarah suddenly jumps up.
Fun in the sun. Guardy one. We're taking you to Miami. Hey, Ben, you know what this is? This is one of these real estate things where they give you all kinds of prizes and stuff. You go look at one of their condos. I used to do phone solicitation for these guys.
I was wondering why you hadn't mentioned phone solicitation.
You know what? They'll take you just about anywhere you want to go if they think there's a chance of you buying a condo.
Sarah, I'm sure you've done this kind of thing before, but it's just not my speed.
Hey, Benji? Make you deal, okay?
I will get you on the bus. I'll get you down to Savannah for your wedding. If once we're down there, just for a couple minutes, you pretend like you're my husband.
What do I have to do? Treat you badly and get you to make bad investments?
No. We have no other options. What options do we have? Zero.
And yet still somehow, they seem more appealing than this one. I'm going another way.
Wait, Sarah. I don't want to be your husband.
Ben. Do you think I like these?
I don't know, everybody's different.
No, Ben, this is not for me. This is for a little person.
I know, your nephew.
No, not my nephew, my son.
You have a son?
Yes, I have a son. I have a 10-year-old boy who lives in Savannah with my first ex-husband, and I haven't seen him in like 2 years. And I wanted to take the money from the store, and I wanted to give it to him for college or school or whatever he wanted. It didn't matter to me, but I can't go in there empty-handed. Please.
Hey, everybody, I just have your attention for 1 second. Yeah, come on up. I'd like to introduce 2 new sense seekers, okay? Ben and Sarah?
Holmes and Lewis.
Just married.
Yes, I'm keeping my name. What, am I his slave?
They missed their bus, so I thought we'd give them a little ride. Actually, as it turns out, they are looking for a place to live, so...
Well, actually, we were going to stay with his parents, but I can take that for about a week before I poke out my eye.
No offense, honey, but really, they're not human.
And guess what, everybody? You're going to love this. Ben is a doctor.
You came to the right bus.
Tell him what your specialty is.
What's your specialty, Pookie?
He's a surgeon.
Yeah.
Going to be.
Oh, go. He's very shy. Yeah, that's actually why we're relocating down to Miami, because, you know, let's face facts, there's like one big emergency room down there. No offense.
Taste of Mexico when you can drink the water.
Ben Holmes. Sorry about the collect call, sir. You know, I'll reimburse you when I get there.
Okay. Is Bridget around? Uh-huh. Shots of lunch. Okay. Who's Steve?
Hi. You want to go on the spinning sombrero ride?
Oh, no, not really.
Oh, come on. A bunch of 70-year-olds are going. Come on.
Sarah, there's two kinds of people in life.
Yeah.
Kind of look at the spinning sombrero ride and think that there's maybe some amusement to be had there, and the kind that look at it and think, where will I throw up after?
You really should get some thrills in your life before you die.
Nausea is not a thrill.
Shh.
I've noticed you around. Everybody say, come on, Ben.
Come on, Ben!
As the sombrero spins, they watch each other, laughing and cheering. Ben's eyes are fixed on Sarah, who shines with glorious happiness. Any thoughts of nausea disappear as his eyes are drawn to her by unquenchable feelings. An old woman looks at her husband and her joy disappears. The old man's face is awash with pain.
Where's Dr. Holmes? Anybody see Dr. Holmes? Dr. Holmes? Dr. Holmes, I think we need you.
Ben turns to look at Sarah with terror in his eyes.
Step back. I'll let the doctor do some work, huh?
All right, call 911.
Somebody call 911?
Okay. This is the branch to check for a pulse.
Hey, you know what? Step back, guys. Let him breathe a little bit, huh? Step back.
Ben pushes rhythmically at the man's chest.
Excuse me, guys. Excuse me. Dr. Keller, this is Dr. Holmes.
He suffered an acute myocardial infarction that was complicated by ventricular fibrillation.
Okay.
But he's going to be fine. You saved his life. Good work, Doctor. Good work.
Hey, and everyone, I think out of respect for Florence, we're going to stay here in town tonight, okay?
Good.
I made arrangements at a local motel.
Fine. Okay. We really have to get on the road, so we went part ways here, but...
I absolutely insist. See you outside.
No, we...
As the tour leader walks away, an old man gratefully grabs Ben's hand and then pats Sarah's arm.
Wow. What a passion pit.
The honeymoon suite. Well, imagine what the wedding must have been like.
The honeymoon suite is a huge dark room with dark floors and dark walls and an enormous bed covered in a dark grey checked quilt. A frosted glass wall divides the bedroom and the bathroom. Avoiding each other's eyes, they dump their bags and Ben takes out his book of quotations.
I think I'm gonna take a bath.
Hi.
Door won't close.
You need some help?
Thank you.
As Ben sits with his back to the glass wall checking through his Filofax, Sarah's silhouette appears backlit in a pale blue light. Ben looks around once but catches himself and turns away. As Sarah slips out of her baggy trousers, Ben is unable to stop himself. He looks once, twice, and a third time he cannot stop. He stares at the blurred but not indistinct shape of her body through the frosted glass, her skin tone mottled in the blue light. As she ties her hair back sitting on the edge of the bath, he watches her arms rise above her head, her body outlined against the blue. With steam rising from the tub, she slowly wipes beads of perspiration from her shoulders and Ben buries his head in his hands.
Come and drive my blues away.
Ben throws himself on the bed, which undulates wetly beneath him.
You want to have some luck?
give your baby your last breath. Damn it. If I need attention to come, I'll call you on the phone.
I'm gonna head down to the gift shop. It's Ben.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up. If my radiator gets too hot.
Yeah, Dad, wire the money to a Cashagram office in Orrin, South Carolina.
Yeah, Ben, Orrin, South Carolina, but, you know,
what are you doing in South Carolina?
I'm handling this. What are you doing in South Carolina?
Benjamin, what's going on? Are you coming through the Bermuda Triangle?
You know what? Can I talk to you guys for a second?
Certainly.
Yeah, sure.
I was wondering, I mean, I want to... Are you happy?
What? You're asking if we're happy?
Yeah.
We're very proud of you.
That's not what he asked. He asked if we're happy.
I heard what he said. Why shouldn't we be happy?
I mean, with your lives together, with your marriage, that kind of thing.
What kind of questions are these?
Ben, what's this about?
Well, on the way down here, I met this woman.
Oh, Ben, you idiot!
Would you let him talk? What woman, you idiot?
It's not like that. It's just that she's completely different than anyone I've ever met.
Oh, please! They always are!
Ben, this is not good timing.
You're supposed to be getting married here.
Yes, I know, Mom. I just want to know how, when you guys got married, how you knew you were the right ones for one another.
I understand. Listen to me. Ben, when I met your father, I had an opportunity to marry Sam Wellman.
Sam Wellman?
Shh, will you please? Who is now a very prominent businessman
in
our community.
He sells pools, and they're not even built in. They're the kind you blow up.
Some are built in.
Guys, well, even they leak.
It's okay. It's you know what? It's fine. I was just curious. But it's... Dad, I really appreciate it if you could just wire the money, and I'll be down there as soon as I can, okay?
Okay, kid. Take care, huh?
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay, now we're honeymooning. All right.
But, I mean, it seems like what you're saying, though, is that the marriage itself is good.
Oh, you know, yeah, you gotta remember, your parents were young once. They went out dancing. They made love in the backseats of cars.
Then they got married and had kids. And the kids, they slowly sucked the life right out of them until all their passion, all their visions of a life of great adventure were reduced to hoping to be able to sit on a goddamn toilet in peace!
Well, I'm gonna get something to eat, Joseph.
I can't believe it!
Oh, Ben!
Oh, my God.
Hey! What's going on? Hey, Debbie.
Hi.
Hey.
Good.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
You would not believe what happened to me.
Tell me about it. When they closed LaGuardia, I couldn't get a flight out of Newark or JFK, but luckily Debbie here had a vehicle.
Well, there's a certain symmetry there. Best man, maid of honor, yeah. You know. This is Joe.
Hi, Farrell, head of the Sunshine Seekers Real Estate Development Company.
Joe gave me a ride down here.
And it was a pleasure. Quite a couple.
So you guys staying here?
No, it's like the only place for miles. So, you know, we thought we'd stop, get a bite to eat, pee.
Yeah, so come on, we'll give you a lift.
No, 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 no. You're not taking a good doctor away from us now.
Good doctor?
So, maybe you guys should just eat, and I'll just come back down and meet you and say, you know.
15 minutes?
Great. You can grab the stuff out of my room. Okay.
You got a room?
Yeah, the honeymoon suite. A little, bada bing.
That's right. It's rehearsing for tomorrow night.
What's tomorrow night?
Hey, these kids are getting married.
Yeah.
that's funny.
He's already married.
That's true, you know. In my heart, I'm already there. But we all have lives to lead, so let's move on with that. And I'll see you guys in a little bit. Nice talking, Joe. Okay, guys.
A delivery man turns up at Bridget's parents' house with the wedding dress.
Please, ma'am, I need your signature. Ma'am.
Signature? For what? Look at this. It says what? Damaged. You see? Do can you read, things? Young man? D-A-M-A-G-E-D. Yeah, damaged. That's right.
We're very proud of Ben.
If he's late, believe you me, he has a good reason.
What I don't understand is how
In this day and age of ATMs and cell phones and the internet and Voyager 2, could it take 2 days? 2 days to get from New York to Savannah? Oh, don't drink out of the bottle, darling. Thank you.
We are really very proud of him.
It's ridiculous. Put an end to this right now. Pretending to be a doctor, listen to my parents' advice in my personal life.
Sarah? Sarah?
He picks up a note from the bed which reads, I borrowed some rags, see you downstairs, your fellow Sunseeker, S.
And where is my lousy maid of honor? Where's Debbie? Huh? Can I not at least have that? I mean, who's supposed to be pouring me drinks while I'm being stood up by the so-called groom? Answer me that. Thank you.
Honey, he'll be here. It's all gonna work out.
It's true, Bridge. Husband and wife, that is something. Well, it must be nice to see your parents back together, though.
Yeah, talk about a match made in hell. What do you mean back together? What do you mean? We're separated.
Oh, honey, baby, sugar lump. It means your father has an apartment he stays in. When you're not here.
I'm never here.
I stay there a lot.
When were you going to tell me?
Honey, we didn't want to spoil your wedding. This is your special time.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been.
Okay.
She grabs Steve.
Get me out of here.
Angrily, Ben stumps down the steps to the cabaret lounge. All the Sunseekers are there, and Ben's eyes immediately fall on Sarah dancing. Through a glass brick wall, he watches her, unable to take his eyes from her as all his anger dissipates. Dancing with a Latin Sunseeker, she spins and turns, her face alight with happiness. Ben is dragged to the bar where he continues to watch Sarah dancing with everyone. She waves to him and he waves shyly back. Lost in a world of rhythm and joy, Sarah spins wildly at the hands of her elderly dance partner. Suddenly, he picks her up over his shoulder and carries her towards the bandstand. She comes forward, beckoning to Ben in time with the music. He declines and she pouts in mock dismay. Shaking his head, he refuses once more.
Well, the plans that we sort of...
Okay, you obviously what? Didn't win your fiancé over on the dance floor either, did you? How did you and Bridget meet?
At a party.
And?
It was a surprise party.
Oh, what a beautiful story. It must have been a magical night. No wonder you can't write your vows.
I should be taking romantic advice from you.
Mm-hmm. Failure's a fantastic teacher. You could learn from my mistakes. I could tell you everything I hated about my husbands and my boyfriends, so you don't do the same.
Should I get a pad?
Get a scroll?
Scroll?
Oh. Okay. Never forget a birthday.
No.
Make a really, really big deal out of it. After sex, hold her for a little while. You know, talk to her like a human being. And do not wear your socks to bed.
Why?
No, socks to bed, because you might not be all that attractive to begin with.
No, keep my feet.
Always, always side with her in an argument with your mother. Listen to her like you mean it. supportiveness is a really, really sexy turn-on. Never, ever hit.
No.
No. And no matter what annoying habits she has, mm-hmm. just realize she's dealing with a huge mountain of imperfections every day. She might just won't let it go.
Ben bends his head to her, and she gently rests against his cheek. She holds him a little closer, and as they turn slowly on the dance floor, Sarah watches the faces of their traveling companions dancing slowly with each other. Each couple exudes love as they hold each other tenderly. The women rest their heads against their husbands' chests, eyes closed in abandoned love and happiness. Sarah watches them uneasily, so close to a man for whom her affection is growing. She gently presses her cheek against his, nuzzling lightly into his neck. Alan and Debbie enter the bar and take seats at a table when Alan suddenly sees Ben.
Hey, can I sit there?
Alan mouths, "Get out," to Ben.
Hey.
Ah!
Oh.
Let's get some
air.
Why? I'm hot.
Grilled prawns or something? One sec.
Debbie suddenly gets up, following who she thinks is Ben, as he and Sarah rush out to the pool.
What's the matter with you?
Hmm?
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me. Do you know how to swim?
Of course I know how to swim.
With Debbie close behind but out of sight, Ben jumps in with Sarah. His eyes are filled with fear, but Sarah thinks it's all just a game, swimming around him underwater with a huge smile on her face.
Tell him you have saw him come out here. That is him down there. That's him.
I don't see anything.
Hey, there's a body at the bottom of the pool.
No, I think that's just a big drain.
Hey, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, and P.S., you're a moron. Hello? Excuse me. Hi. Do you know Ben Holmes?
I'm sorry. No, who?
Ben Holmes. Is that Ben at the bottom of the pool?
I don't know, but I can go ask for you.
Snap in, okay? He's afraid of the water. He goes to the beach in a suit and tie. Come on, let's go.
I found it!
I got it.
What?
Calder and contact lenses. You ought to just stick with glasses. Oh, hey, guys. What's going on? What's happening?
Hi.
Alan? This is Sarah. Sarah, Alan's my best man.
Hey,
pleasure.
Good.
Debbie, maid of honor. Sarah.
Hi, Debbie. Hi.
Good. So, how'd you two hook up?
I wouldn't say that we're hooked up, really. I sort of barely know this person, but...
You were on the bus, right?
Yeah, we rode down the bus together. There's a whole group of folks. We rode down together.
Okay, and the whole pool thing?
She fell in the pool, and, Didn't look like she was a strong swimmer. She was kind of flailing around. So I, you know, there's no lifeguard on duty if you see the sign there. And so I jumped in and, hauled her out. And in the course of that, I contact lens fell out. Here you go, miss. You gotta be careful with these because they're, here you go. It's contact lens.
That's a great story. Bridget's really lucky to be marrying such a great swimmer.
Whoa, what happened here? Well, perhaps after you dry off, you'll come back in for another dance.
Got it, Herman.
Dr. Holmes, you don't mind if I dance with your wife, do you?
Yeah, you don't mind, do you, sweetie?
All right. Well, I'll see you in there.
Okay.
See ya.
Disappointed in you, Ben. You know, I mean, everybody's always telling Bridget she's so lucky because you're such a nice guy.
Debbie, I am a nice guy, all right? This is not what you think.
Okay, yeah, okay, whatever, Dr. Holmes. Okay?
Alan?
Ben, you don't need to explain, okay? Remember, I'm the guy who begged you to sleep with more women before you got married.
I'm not sleeping with her, man, okay? There's nothing going on.
Why won't you listen to me?
Maybe because I'm getting married tomorrow?
All right, look, Ben, if you're not going to take advantage of a night that's going to get you through many sad, pathetic, lonely years, then... God. All right, I'll see you in the lobby in 5 minutes.
Hate to remind you, but we had a deal. Remember, you were supposed to be my husband if I got you a ride? Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that arrangement. It did not, however, presuppose the fact that Debbie is now on her way down to tell my fiancé that I am holed up in a hotel room in South Carolina somewhere with a woman claiming to be the wife of the good Dr. Ben Holmes.
What was I supposed to do, okay? The Sunshine people think we're married. They would have stoned us. I mean, as it is, I already feel bad enough about not buying a condo. I mean, look, why don't you just tell Bridget the truth? I mean, what kind of marriage do you have if she doesn't believe you? Just explain why you're with me.
Sarah, I'm not with you. We're not together. This is not a relationship. I just happen to be traveling alongside a natural disaster.
You know what? I really feel sorry for you. Because at least when I was getting married, I could admit I was scared.
Well, save me your pity. I am not scared.
You know what? You have such a problem with honesty, Ben. You know that?
Oh.
You can't tell your fiancé what's going on. You can't explain something absolutely simple and innocent to your best man. And you are with me, Ben. You could have left 100 times, but you didn't.
I tried to.
Then why are you still here?
I'm leaving. All right, fine. You want to talk about honesty? Let's talk about honesty.
Bring it on.
You complain about your life nonstop, all the time. It's all your fault. You are a beautiful, incredible woman. You could have any guy you wanted, but you keep picking these losers. And the only thing I can think of is that you choose these guys who are intellectually inferior to you so that you can control them, but still feel conveniently wounded when the relationship ends. You're the one that's afraid of commitment. You back out of every job you ever have. You run away from anyone and anything. And you think it's so unconventional and liberating, when in fact, it's just cowardice and juvenile and unable to face the real world.
Ha! Okay, you want honesty? I'll give you honesty. Do you know why you can't write your marriage vows? Because you are absolutely terrified that you have nothing to say. And why would you, Ben? Because you run around so scared that life is going to throw you this curveball that'll completely shatter this crystal clear, perfect existence that you've created for yourself in your daytimer, that you blurb your way out of feeling anything emotional, anything real. You have no emotions. And that's what makes you a shitty writer, Ben.
At least I don't sit around obsessing that no one's gonna come to my funeral. Because I have relationships that last longer than a week. My funeral is gonna be packed!
You know what, Ben? That is just great. And I know your eulogy is gonna look so nice on the back of a book cover.
I just think you are an immature, selfish person. Well, I'm obviously wrong.
Have a fabulous time in Westchester. I do hope you enjoy the minivan.
God, how great it must be to be so cool and above everyone, huh? That must be great! Let me ask you something. How cool is it to abandon your kid?
I was 17 years old, okay? Fuck you. You don't know anything about it.
All right,
nothing.
Well, try 27, Sarah, because 17's not working anymore.
Okay, Ben, take your marriage cliff notes and have a nice wedding, okay?
Have a nice divorce.
Okay. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm leaving.
Hey, Deb, he's coming. 5 minutes. There he is. I think he's... Come on!
No.
Oh, that was smooth.
Getting married tomorrow, Ben.
What's your point?
Well, you see, if I'm going to turn my life around, I can't very well break up your marriage. I have bad luck for the rest of my life, and karmically speaking. I'm
getting married tomorrow. I have non-refundable tickets to Hawaii, and I cannot make myself leave this room.
Well, I like you too, Ben.
I can't go through with a marriage like that. I can't.
Ben, relax. We need to get to second base.
Have you seen Dr. Holmes and his wife? We're doing the raffle.
He's not Dr. Holmes, and she's not his wife. Okie dokie, okie dokie.
I'm gonna tell her. I think at the very least she deserves that. I can feel this way about someone else.
Come on! Why is this happening? It's dangerous!
Freak!
God!
Is that your ride?
Yeah, it was.
Now what are you gonna do?
I don't know. Let's go get the money my father wired. We should get us a cab at least.
Walking through a used car lot to the Cashagram office, Sarah stops by a wrecked pink convertible.
This is actually the perfect car for this trip. It's already been wrecked, totaled, and destroyed. What else can go wrong?
The flickering light of flames lights up their faces with a vibrant orange glow as they step gingerly over fire hoses in front of the blazing Cashagram store.
Well, you asked.
Really? Interesting. That's not really that funny, actually. I think we should just sit here and wait for the locusts to come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All righty.
Yeah. She's on fire, man.
Well, I guess we should,
Yeah, we should.
His leg slides under a silk sheet as a man's hand moves slowly along her thigh. As he passionately kisses her neck, Bridget turns away with disgust in her eyes.
I'm slipping!
This is so wrong.
But it feels so right to me.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, Joe.
It is a good evening, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Dr. Holmes, or whoever it is you are?
We made a call. There's no Dr. Ben Holmes in New York City.
Unless you're a veterinary brain surgeon.
All God's creatures are welcome in my office.
But the way you two carry on, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Thank you.
You tell him.
There is the matter of your bill.
Okay, well...
Thank you
very
much.
I'm really sorry.
Look at this bill here.
Seems a little excessive, actually.
You know, well, if you add the two and the two, that's four. And then,
Run, Jesus!
How long do you think before they call the police?
Oh, about 5 minutes ago.
All right. Yesterday I was just trying to get married. Today I'm a fugitive. Okay, I get it. This is a sign. I mean, this whole thing is a sign. I am not supposed to get married. Loud and clear.
We have to be in Savannah in the morning. The fuzz are after us.
Hey, Ben, how much was that car that we saw back in the lot?
The disaster car was $150, I think.
Because I'm thinking that if somebody went into this place right here and did, I don't know, you know, a little bump and grind for the good old boys, they could, I could probably walk out of there with that amount of money in their pocket.
Strip dancing? You're saying you just go in and strip dance? I'm talking about something serious.
Ben, well, then let's weigh out our alternatives here. I mean, one hand, what do we have? We have a little harmless dancing that gets us to Savannah where I have $25,000 waiting for me, and you have, what, 130 of your closest family and friends waiting for you. And on the other hand, we have, oh, look, we have nothing. Oh, there's nothing here. So we have dancing, going to Savannah. Oh, nothing.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, well, it's because you know I'm right.
Am I being too prudish about this? Is that what it is? Maybe I just gotta open my mind, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not you. You go in there, you take your clothes off, you have the power. Post-feminist, you know what I mean? It's aggressive, you're taking a stand.
Absolutely.
You have the power and the control.
I know what I'm doing, watch my back.
Watch your back? What are we, a mod squad now?
Hiya, how you doing?
Good.
I was wondering if y'all had any entertainment.
We got a pool table out back.
What would you say to somebody dancing on it? For a set price of, I don't know, $150 bucks?
guarantee you a really good show.
150 seems like a lot of money.
What? Look at her.
I am looking at her. I'm not interested. How much for you to dance?
Excuse me?
I think this is one of these places where everyone would much rather see you dance than see me dance.
Quickly, tables are pushed together to form a makeshift stage.
It's not funny anymore because, you know, I don't even like to be naked at home in my shower.
So it was okay for me a minute ago.
Well, but it's on your resume, you know what I mean? If you want me to blurb you a novel, I can do that.
So much for power and control, big guy. Get up there.
All right, I'm sorry.
As he stands up, a crowd of men gathers around the tables and Sarah starts to dance erotically around him. Ben is terrified as she bends low in front of him and pulls off his shoes.
Watch me ride. I'm a sexual animal. I eat you like a cannibal. Cram full of energy. I'm inflammable. Yeah. I finish my beer, so come.
Moving behind him, she sexily removes his jacket, throwing it to the crowd, and swings around his leg.
Your legs over there and kind of swing on the chair. I swear you look wicked with your panties in your hair.
Lying on her back before him with her legs wide, she sits up towards his crotch and looks cheekily round at the crowd before whipping his trousers down. The crowd goes wild and Ben frantically tries to cover himself, utterly terrified. Trying to pull his trousers up while Sarah takes them off, he loses his footing and falls into the crowd. Caught in midair, he is quickly pushed back to the stage where Sarah waves his trousers triumphantly.
They're really cheering for you. Doing a great job.
Okay, everyone in here is looking at your ass.
Lord, this has been my last all night.
Turning around in horror with a hand over his crotch and his bottom, he stares at the crowd in fear as Sarah walks behind him and tiptoes over his shoulders with her fingertips. Slowly it begins to dawn on him what she's about to do as her fingers wander towards the buttons on his shirt. Suddenly he shrugs her off and, pouting, undoes the first button. Quickly he flashes a nipple. The crowd are ecstatic, waving money and cheering. Suddenly he shrinks away from Sarah, whisking his hand across his brow and holding his shirt open. Leaping to the front of the stage, he holds his hands high. More and more money is waved towards him as his own confidence grows and Sarah stands back, collecting dollar bills. Walking sexily forward, Ben allows the front row to rub their money over his chest, a huge smile on his face. The electric top grinds to a halt and they look at each other in resignation.
Sexual animal, eat you like a king.
Well, I didn't have the G-string and the cowboy boots, but I think it was a pretty good showing nonetheless.
Don't be too proud of yourself, you weren't that good then.
Don't be jealous.
Amazing, because the things that you find so exotic and interesting right now are going to be the same things that you're going to hate me for in the end.
Why am I hating you in this scenario? But
okay, trust me. A lot of stuff's happened really fast. You're just not registering it.
It's registering, okay? I'm a gay dancer, and I'm proud. I'm a gay strip dancer, and I love it. Register. Cha-ching! Okay. Change!
Password is denial, okay? You've known me 2 days. 2 days. Now we're on our way down to go break up the marriage.
That has nothing to do with you.
I don't believe you.
I don't either.
As they drive, unable to put the top down, the storm clouds gather, brooding heavily above them. In Savannah, Bridget stares out of a dark window watching the sky while her father watches the approach of the storm on television.
Amanda is beginning to gather strength as it continues its journey in the Atlantic. It's currently a Category 2 hurricane. Is continuing its push toward the northwest, and that means the coastline is working south.
A hand reaches out to comfort her.
He'll make it.
man waits outside the bagel shop as Ben drives around a square up to the store.
That's it right there. Yep. Oh my God, that's Carl.
Carl?
My husband.
Surprise, sweetheart. Who's this? I know it's not the guy you're trying to sell the place to, because I got an injunction.
Bullshit. This is so fake. You can't even get an injunction that fast. All right?
What are you doing this to me for?
Carl,
you know, I have to get back.
This is my place, okay? I bought it with my money.
Your place?
Yeah.
For Christ's sake, Sarah, we're married. Look, you want to sell the place? That's fine. We'll sell the place. You know, you can send the money down to your kid if that's what you're worried about. Now, come on. Come on, Angel. We got no place else to go.
Not going, Carl.
You ungrateful bitch.
Hey.
What?
Hold on.
What?
Hey, nobody's talking to you, my friend. Okay, just cool it. Sarah, get in the car.
I'm not going, Carl. Forget it. Not going.
I said get in the car.
No,
now.
I'm not getting in the
God
car.
God damn it.
What's your problem?
Hey, what's your problem? You sleep with her and think that means something?
Shut up, Carl. You don't know what you're talking
about. Don't you tell me.
Hey! You all right? You okay?
Did you find my thumb?
Get out of here, Carl. Go!
You know, I got news for you, buddy. You're just the next number on the list.
Right, Shut up.
You know what happened with her kid?
Carl,
what did she tell you?
Carl, don't. Carl, don't.
She let the dad raise him?
Shut up.
Well, that's bullshit.
Shut up.
The kid chose the father. She was never even around. But even a six-year-old could see. You can't trust her. Enjoy the ride, pal. Little boy? Why? Because it's $25,000?
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah. I don't know anything about, you know, raising kids, but I don't think $25,000 is going to win him over. I think he wants to see you.
Can't win him over. He obviously doesn't want what I have to offer.
Sarah, you have the most incredible ability to make people absolutely crazy about you.
No, I have the ability to make people crazy. That's what I can do really well.
Sarah, everybody loves you. You just think they're all wrong.
When's your wedding start?
At Bridget's house, the guests race for cover as the wind grows stronger, whipping the cotton marquees and parasols into flapping frenzy. Rain pours into the car as Ben races to the house with Sarah beside him, her face turned up to the sky. Bridget sits on her bed in her wedding dress, looking nervous and worried, her family gathered in her bedroom.
Well.
17 minutes late.
Ben's usually very prompt.
You must be so very proud of him.
I hate to interrupt, but I think the hurricane may arrive before the groom.
Good Lord. Ben, where are you?
They stare at the branch lying across the bonnet of the car and then start running. Bridget looks beautiful but increasingly concerned as the bridesmaids finish preparing her long veil. Ben and Sarah finally arrive outside the gates.
I just want to hit my bearings here.
Two strangers arrive at a wedding. One invited, one is not. And as the guests arrive and the appetizers are served, the true drama unfolds just minutes from the altar.
I don't think I'm going to be able to blurb my way out of this one.
Nope. Probably not.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to run in there and just put a quick stop to this whole wedding thing, you know. Maybe grab a few gifts on the way out. You need anything? Bread maker? Cuisinart?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah.
You will be here when I come back, won't you?
Oh, well, you know me.
I would not presume. All right. Wish me luck.
Ben, do me a favor and just forget about luck, okay? Forget about loyalty. Forget about being nice. Forget about polite, okay? Because this is the rest of your life, and possibly somebody else's, too.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just be honest.
If her father happens to shoot me on my way out, I guess I'll see you in heaven.
Yeah. I don't think I deserve heaven.
Oh, Sarah. You deserve so much more than you think. You deserve to be with somebody who will be really, really depressed if your plane goes down.
He looks at her as she turns her face towards him, his eyes smiling but sad, and they hold each other's gaze before he stands and walks to the gate. He turns back and smiles, and Sarah watches him with all-consuming sorrow.
To listen to your father?
Ben.
Yes?
We were thinking about what you were telling us on the phone. And the thing is, nobody knows if it's going to work out. It's all a leap of faith. And it just so happened that in my case, I was lucky. My heart told me to do something. I did it. And 32 years later, here I am. Don't speak. You'll ruin the moment.
You have got a lot of nerve. Now, maybe this is how they treat women back in New York, but here in Savannah, we have a little more respect for the sanctity of marriage.
Oh, do you hear yourself?
I am not talking to you, Virginia.
Where's Bridget? I want to marry her.
Who the hell are you?
Someone who gets to a wedding on time.
Hi, we haven't met. I'm Ben.
Steve Montgomery. I used to go out with Bridget, and I'm still in love with
her. Good.
I see your invitation.
Hey, excuse me. Somebody should be asking for your invitation, all right? P.S. You shouldn't be having a wedding. I saw him in the hotel last night with some woman.
What? Whoa! Hey, untrue! They are just travel friends! And she's ugly!
Why
do you New Yorkers have to be so unfathomably?
Put
him on!
Ben looks up at the house just as Bridget comes onto the balcony. Everyone else is forgotten as he walks away from the bickering anger, unable to take his eyes off the vision above him. Bridget rushes back into the house and Ben turns to the gate searching for Sarah, but she is gone. Bridget runs down the steps towards Ben, who watches her approach. She slows as she nears him, stopping just short, watching his face. All around them, people run for cover. With leaves and petals blowing around them, Bridget looks tenderly up at him with love-filled, questioning eyes. He stares open-mouthed at her and, suddenly realizing how silly he must look, shuts his mouth. A ray of sunlight bursts through the glowering cloud, and wedding guests desperately hold onto furniture and sunshades against the wind. But all of this is unnoticed by Ben and Bridget, who simply gaze at each other. Beyond the gate, Sarah slowly walks from behind a tall hedge and looks sadly through the wrought iron entrance at Ben.
Ben?
Yeah?
In about 5 minutes, we're supposed to be joined for eternity, and I was wondering, if you were gonna get dressed.
Well, if it's eternity, it can wait.
No, I think technically eternity starts immediately, especially when there's ice sculpture involved.
Well, Bridge.
Yeah.
The truth is, I'm sorry. This always happens at weddings, you know? I'm sorry it took so long to get down here. Something happened.
It's okay. I know. Debbie told me, and I told her that it didn't matter because I trusted you. And I knew you wouldn't cheat on me. And then I threw up. But, then everything else was going wrong. Everything was going wrong. And my parents are separated. And then this guy, Steve, who...
Bridge, you know what? I always thought that there was this one perfect person for everybody in the world, you know? And when you found that person, like the rest of the world just kind of magically faded away. And you know, the two of you would just be inside this kind of protective bubble. But there is no bubble. I mean, or if there is, we have to make it. I think life is more than a series of moments, you know? It's we can make choices and we can choose to protect the people we love. And that's what makes us who we are. And those are the real miracles. Stop me when it just becomes glaringly obvious that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you're talking about. I do, I know exactly what you're talking about.
She brushes her hand over his hair, nodding repeatedly. Outside the gate, Sarah's face creases in a sad smile as she watches petals and leaves flutter around them.
Farewell, Ben.
I fell in love with you the moment I saw you. And when I saw you up there on the balcony, I fell in love with you all over again. None of the plane crashes and the hurricanes and the other people will ever change that. Because when I'm on my deathbed, I'm gonna know that I married the only woman I ever really loved.
I think you just wrote your vows.
Gently taking her head in his hands, he kisses her passionately, and slowly they turn to look at the house where guests are gathered, watching them. As the bridesmaids rush Bridget up the steps to the safety of the porch, Ben runs to the gate. Searching for Sarah, he spots the book of quotations on a seat in the bower in front of him, and a smile spreads over his face.
I'm okay. I'll be right back. You're okay.
Bridget!
You want to get married like this? Let's go get married! Under a waterfall in Hawaii!
Okay.
Go.
Ben and Bridget run away from the house. Watching from the porch, Bridget's mother gently lays her head on her husband's shoulder. Alone in the pouring rain, Sarah stands outside a ramshackle house, her hat plastered to her head, her clothes soaking. Finally steeling herself, she races to the gate of a white picket fence. With the present wrapped in a plastic bag held tight to her chest, she walks through. A young boy inside watches her pass by a long window along one wall and stand outside the door. He opens the door a little way, looking up at the bedraggled woman in front of him. There is no fear in his face as he watches her put a finger in her mouth and hold it up to test the weather as the rain pours down. She smiles at him, and slowly he pushes the door open wider to let his mother in. As she walks past him, she holds her hand out behind her, and as if it was second nature, he pats it in a gentle low five. He watches her with uncertain affection. Ripping open his present, his face lights up with joy at the American football on a stick, and together they make chalk drawings of the storm on the floor.
Well, there's one quote that pretty much sums it up. It's from a bishop in the 16th century. He said, "Marriage has less beauty, but more safety than the single life. It's full of sorrows and full of joys. It lies under more burdens, but it is supported by all the strengths of love, and those burdens are delightful." Sometimes the people we meet change us forever. I've never forgotten Sarah, and I'm pretty sure I never will. Wherever she is, I really hope she's happy. In the end, all you can do is commit to the people you love, hope for a little luck, and some good weather.
The end.